Happy Monday, everybody. September 13th, 2021. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. And welcome to maybe the second week of school for a lot of you up here in the north. And we'll find out how long they've been back at school in Charlottesville, North Carolina. Charlottesville, Virginia. That's Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlottesville's in Virginia. That's where we're going. Charlottesville, Virginia. Sorry about that. Albemarle County. Okay, talk to their superintendent, Dr. Matthew Hines, and also my friend Isaac Williams from the architectural firm of Fielding International. We're going to talk about the plan they developed for equity in school building and the relationship of the school building to the community, to the schools, to the students, etc. It's really going to be an interesting show. We're calling High School Beyond High School Buildings, providing equitable access across boundaries. Going to be a good show. So, like Ed Sullivan used to say, so stay tuned. We are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Our magazine, our online journal, of which we are extremely proud, is called Equity in Access. And you go over there, check it out. You'll enjoy every page. Please take your time to do that. We'll have a new issue out at the end of September. We publish every other month. Every podcast we do, including this one, is archived over there at ace-ed.org, and we also invite you to take a look at our newest site, which is going to tie equity and social-emotional learning together, seltoday.org. We're in the process of tweaking that one, building it, but you can go over, take a look, and see what we're doing at seltoday.org. So those are two good websites for you to check out, ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. All right, without further ado, and me blabbing here, let me bring on my two guests. We'll start with Isaac. Good morning, Isaac. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning to your listeners. It's great to be with you.
It's good to have you here, my friend. Where are you calling from?
Tonight I'm calling from Singapore, the other side of the world.
You know, I thought you were going to say something like Pittsburgh. I was surprised you said Singapore. Okay, you're in Singapore? What time, what day, what time is it in Singapore? Well, I wasn't expecting this. Go ahead. What day is it?
I'm 12 hours ahead of the East Coast, so it is 9 p.m. here.
Well, don't you have to, I know it's a beautiful place, just don't throw any gum on the ground. They get really mad if you do that, okay?
Right. Right. Yeah, I always follow the rules.
As well, you should. It's a riot. You're in Singapore. Well, Dr. Matthew Hines, you're going to have to go pretty far to beat Singapore. You're calling in from Mars, I hope, perhaps. Where are you calling
in?
Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Calling in from Singapore. We're just right here on the East Coast. I'm calling in. Actually, our office building's in Charlottesville, Virginia, but I'm the superintendent of Albemarle County Schools.
Right. Right. And where are you in Charlottesville? You.
My office?
Literally,
yeah,
now.
I'm actually sitting right in Charlottesville looking at Preston Avenue. Yep, out of my office
good
window.
Good enough. What a good part of the world. That's all I can say. Charlottesville can just – I'm serious. If people haven't been there, a lot of people have not been there, okay? And it's just a college town and just a gorgeous part of the world, okay? And well worth the effort to be there. You're a lucky man. Is that where you're from?
No, actually, I grew up in New Jersey and moved here to go to college and just stayed in Virginia and worked around in different places in Virginia, and I've been here for the last 17 years.
All right, so let me ask you the most important question. You grew up in New Jersey where? Where in Jersey? I'm from Philly. I'm from Philly.
I grew up about 30 minutes from Philadelphia. I'm an avid Eagles fan. I grew up in
Bordentown, New Jersey. Yes, that was the question. Thank you. My wife was born in Vineland. Okay,
that was
the question. Eagles or
all right, I got
teams, whatever. Yeah, you win.
I scored
win.
Some points.
Isaac,
I win.
Isaac, you can hang it up now. We're done. He's an Eagles fan. We're good. Thank you.
In fact, Larry, I'm looking at my coffee mug. It says, "No one likes us. We don't care." 2018
right.
World champions.
That's right. Except for one thing. I live in Maine now, and my kids grew up here in New England.
Okay.
And I've become. Although it took many, many years, because genetically I'm an Eagles fan, and believe me, I'm older than you. I was an Eagles fan when they were still in the nest, okay? I had season's tickets, okay, to the only season in their entire history where they lost every home game. I think it was 72 or something.
Wow.
Okay, so I lived and died with those Eagles. Sonny Jurgens, I go right back the list, okay? I'm older than you. All right? But when the Eagles played the Patriots, it was okay. I couldn't lose that game, and there you go. Okay, so good luck, and I'll convert you to a Patriots fan before long. And I won't even ask anything about Isaac and the Singapore soccer team. I never hear about them. Anything, Isaac?
I think probably the Philadelphia area has it on Singapore in terms of sports.
There you go.
I'll just leave it there.
Okay, and at least in Singapore, they don't throw snowballs at Santa Claus. So we'll just move right on from that. Okay, they're very nice people in Singapore. How long are you officially there all the time, or are you, like, visiting?
Well, right now, during the pandemic, we're working with a large school here, and so it's not easy to get back and forth. So I've been here for some time, helping a very large school, yeah.
Cool. Okay, now, let's get down to business. Matt, Dr. Haas, tell us about Albemarle County Public Schools. That's A. Go, Matt.
Well, so Albemarle County Schools, if you've ever been to Charlottesville, as you said, you've driven through
That's
our county.
Beautiful.
We surround it. We've got about 14,000 students, pre-K through 12. About a third of our students are economically disadvantaged, about 10% English learners. And we have 95 countries of origin and 75 home languages spoken. So it's a school system that at one time wasn't very diverse, but over the past two decades, it's been increasing in diversity, very multicultural, and like you said, just a great place to work.
It is. It is, and I might add, beautifully diverse from what you just described, that diversity is ever-changing and it brings so much more to the table, okay, et cetera. So it's just a gorgeous school district. We're going to talk about it. And, Isaac, I want you to talk about your partner there, but talk about what Fielding International does.
Thanks. So Fielding International is really devoted to creating schools and learning environments where all learners thrive. And our focus has been learning environments really from the inception of the firm. So although there are lots of beautiful school buildings built, we thought that it was really important to not only create beautiful places to learn, but places that were really aligned with the teaching mission and learning vision of each school district and each school that we work with. So we really try to bring together the learning environment and the educational approach together. So we were very fortunate to get to work with Matt and his team at the Albemarle County Public School District. It was an incredible process, an incredible opportunity to learn not only more about Charlottesville, but how to really think about creating equitable access at such a large scale as their school district.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I love the way Fielding International works. You're way beyond, okay, being architects, and you are great architects, and you can design a school that will stand up, okay? We know that, okay? But what you folks believe in is strategic learning environments with a look to the future. I know you guys will. In other words, you're not planning for today. You're planning for today and beyond. All right, and how kids, how kids will learn now and in the future. You want to comment? Go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, thanks, Larry. That's absolutely right. And one of the things that we always do is build an integrated team to approach that. So we have architects, planners, designers, but also educators always on our team. And we really see the school environment, the building, as really a facilitator for great learning. So that's always been part of the DNA of the firm and always part of our approach.
It really is. And now let's go back to Matt. Matt, how'd you hook up with Fielding? And I'm just going to ask it this way. And I saw you sent me the big plan that you guys have. I can't read the whole thing here, but it's really excellent. okay, about how you thought through your whole school board and you and all the pay people, thought this through, et cetera. Okay, you're not just building a building, you're building a learning environment. I'm going to say that word again. So talk to me about how you hooked up with Fielding and explain to them what your expectations were. In other words, building a high school that goes beyond the high school building. All right, I'm going to ask you that, Matt.
Yeah. Sure. So thanks, Larry. And it is great working with Isaac and with Fielding there. Everything you said is true. We met in 2017 because Albemarle County is a growing school division, but it's also geographically large. It's 726 square miles. And so we had at that time, and we still do, we had three comprehensive high schools of about 1,000 to 2,000 students, and they're all spread out. And so whether you had particular programs at your school or whether you had access to those programs, it was really just the luck of the draw, like where were you living. So we had capacity issues, but also we wanted to increase opportunities for students to have access to the different programs at the different schools. We also wanted to break down barriers. And so my charge to Fielding Nair at that time, I was not superintendent, but it was my project, was for them to look at our school system not as separate high schools spread across the county, but to look at us as a 4,000 student high school. And then if you frame it up around that, then the next thing you want to look at is how do we, in that 4,000 student school, how do we break down barriers and provide access to all the programming and also find programming, establish programming and facilities that match it, that really appeals to students and helps them prepare for the future.
So when you hear that then, and that was great, thank you, Matt. So, and I love that whole idea. That's a beautiful idea. It really is. Isaac, when you hear that, okay, and again, you guys are school designers, okay, what goes through your head as you design a high school beyond the high school building? In other words, take a whole school district of the secondary ed and turn it into equal opportunity for everybody. So how do you even begin on that, Isaac?
Yeah, thanks for that. It was a really interesting process because we really started with the high school experience. So we said, you know, if it's a high school for 4,000 and it's across the school district, what are the experiences that all high school students should have access to? And Albemarle County had done some brilliant work well before we arrived, at least envisioning what would be the high school experience in 2020 for a typical student at Albemarle County. So they had put together some videos, had done some visioning across the district. So that was an incredible jumping off part and highly unusual. You know, as you said, we're architects and designers. Usually we start with the building, actually, but this was a chance to step back and say, how would we design a system, a set of resources that could deliver those kinds of experiences? So we set up a process to further dive into what that vision really meant, which included students accessing internships and all kinds of opportunities in the school community and in the larger communities at large. It meant thinking about the transportation system and imagining how students might be able to move outside of their typical catchment area to other schools as needed. And then thinking about even things like how they receive credit for the experiences that they have. So Albemarle County, along with many other leading school districts and schools we work with as part of the Mastery Transcript Consortium, which starts to really imagine, you know, how do we give credit to students for what they're doing? Does it only have to be for a class? So all of those kind of system-wide questions we had an opportunity to take on, along with thinking about, as Dr. Haas pointed to, really the question of, as the school district grows, what physical space is necessary? You know, do we need a whole new fourth high school, or might we think more about how we could bring resources closer to where students are, regardless of what catchment area they live in?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. As you both are talking about this, I just wrote this down. You're moving kids students, I'll constantly say kids, I do that all the time, from point A to point B all the time to provide them with equitable access as opposed to education by zip code, if I may, which is the old line, all right? But that creates another aggravation, okay, another need, another peeling of the onion, which is equity in scheduling. Because, and you have to think this through, because kids still need their phys ed class, they need their home ec class, whatever they call that now, okay, all that sort of stuff. And where's that kid going to be getting that, and how do you balance that one school or the other over three high schools? Or four?
Yeah, you're getting right into the nitty-gritty, Larry, because
peeling
you
that
can't,
onion. Yeah.
That's right, you can't, so yeah. It's great to talk at the high level, but you know, you've got to be able to figure out the nuts and bolts. And so one of the things we did talk about was how to, and also the other piece to that is identifying with a school. So how do you set up a situation so that if I'm a child that lives in a catchment area or a district, how do I be that high school student, like, for example, Albemarle High School Patriots? How am I going to keep being an Albemarle High School Patriot?
I told you you'd be a Patriots fan before
that's
the
right.
show was over.
That's right.
That.
I am. Yeah. Well, I was principal there at one time, too, so I am a Patriot.
There you go. There you go.
So how can I do that but also be part of a program at another high school? So one of the first things that came out of our process was to schedule everything on an alternating day schedule so that I can have one set of my classes one day and the next set the next day. Therefore, every other day I could travel to another high school, take the specialty classes I want to take there, like maybe I'm interested in entrepreneurship and business development, so I'm going to take some classes at Monticello High School. And then the other day I'm back here at my home school. I'm here every day in the afternoon so I can still do sports. I can still do all the extracurriculars. But I don't have to give up anything. I don't even have to give up travel time during the day if I can do that every other day. This year we also started a complete virtual school. It's not attached to any of the other schools. So now I'll also have the opportunity, if I want to get up in the morning and take a virtual class before I do anything else, I can just do that.
That's great. That is great. And actually, you bring up something else which I completely forgot about. Thank you very much, the pandemic. Okay, but there was a pandemic, by the way.
Yes,
okay, and I forgot about that. But you're doing all these wonderful things, and we had virtual education. I'm just going to stick with you, Matt, for a few minutes. Talk about what's happening now. I just have to ask: re-pandemic, reopening schools, re-masking. You know all the aggravations,
right?
And how it's affecting what your plan is. Yeah.
Well, so if you go back to last year, we were on our heels really responding to the crisis. So we did do a lot of our schools were blended where each school was providing both in-person and virtual learning through stages where we were bringing back more and more kids. This year, the state legislature passed a law that said every school has to offer 5 days a week in-person instruction. So what we decided to do was to create our own standalone virtual school so that it would not virtual instruction would not be impacted, nor would in-person instruction be impacted by shifts in the pandemic. And we have 410 students that chose to enroll completely in the virtual school. But while this was a crisis and we developed it out of necessity, I plan on keeping that. We did use federal money to kick it off, but we can supplant that as we move forward. And what we're going to do is move forward with that because, again, it comes back to that flexibility that Isaac was talking about, that especially for high school juniors and seniors, you know, they really ought to have the flexibility of really never even setting foot into a high school if they choose to, if they can take their classes online, have a part-time job, go to community college. That frees them up to really start stepping into the world of work and keeps them engaged and really engages their mental health.
You guys have thought this through so well. I'm really impressed with this. Isaac, back to you. You're planning all this. You're doing all this. There's a pandemic. Talk about put everything into perspective over the last couple of years, Isaac.
Yeah, thanks. One of the things, just talking to what Dr. Oswald was just saying there, is this approach also helped us think about what we call often utilization, or the number of students using a building or space at any given time, completely differently, right? So by thinking about the schedule and expanding opportunity, it also meant that the resources, the buildings that the school district had, could be thought about differently. They could be used more hours of the day. More students than typically the building was designed for could use the building, because the building might be open at different hours. So it allowed us to really think creatively about what are the resources the school district needs in the future, versus the typical approach, which is we're growing, so let's build a new comprehensive high school. And mm-hmm. and the challenge with building a new comprehensive high school is it's really hard to meet everybody's needs, no matter how comprehensive it is. It's very, very expensive. It takes a lot of land, and it takes a lot of time. And so this approach led to a more nimble approach of creating centers, which were smaller schools with a range of opportunities for students, usually clustered around different occupations or careers, as students could imagine as part of their high school experience, along with the virtual opportunities that Matt was speaking to, along with internship opportunities. So this was really augmenting what the school district had already, rather than just repeating what it already had. And so there are some examples of that are underway that I'm sure Matt will speak to, but we're seeing school districts across the country really grapple with this question of, as enrollment goes up and down, as our buildings age over time, how do we manage that well, but also make sure that, as Matt mentioned earlier, that zip code doesn't become destiny, that everyone in the school district has access to the wide range of resources in the district.
Right. And so let me ask you this, and this is going to be kind of a funny question, but I don't mean it that way. Okay, this is a funny question. Okay. Knowing fielding like I do, all right, and knowing what you guys are planning here, all right, and working with Albemarle, I mean this seriously, what did you actually do? I know you guys were consulting to them, per se, but I'll say it this way, but you can answer it anyway. Like with brick and mortar, with changing design, what did you actually do? And I don't mean that to sound as stupid as it does. Go ahead.
That's a great question, Larry, because lots of times we talk about things and we talk them and don't do them. And I think it's because, just to insert this, I think that lots of times big plans don't turn into reality because everybody thinks it's all or nothing. But what we did, and Isaac, based on the recommendations that came from the Fielding Near report, our board decided to start creating centers, okay? And so before we invested in building our own building, though, we decided to do a pilot test where we are leasing 90,000 square feet in basically, it's an industrial park that's under roof. It's a gigantic industrial park called Seminole Place on Route 29. And in that building, in that facility, we built our first center and began programming it. And we also put our technology department there for the synergy. But we started out in 2018-19 with 24 students at that center. And as of this year, the enrollment is 148, and the demographics are exactly the demographics of our school system, the same racial demographics, the same free reduced lunch makeup, and it draws students from all of our high schools. So our pilot was to find out if we built a center and offered contemporary programming, technology program, career development, the kinds of courses you talked about where students could meet their core requirements, if we offered those things and grew it a little at a time, could we actually succeed with this center concept? And right now I would have to say it is a success. And so now we're talking with our school board about what's the next step to have a larger center that we can then begin to build on this model.
And so what we did to support that work is we designed a prototype for a center at multiple scales? What would it look like at 800 students? What would it look like at 400 students? What would it look like at 100 students?
Wow.
And that center is very different than a typical comprehensive high school. So there's space for students to be engaged in work and reflection, so that they have an internship when they come back to the building. How do they reflect on that and collaborate with others? There's space for experts to come in and connect with students. There's space for students to present what they're working on and learning. So it feels more like a space in between a learning environment and a place of work or career. And the other thing we did, though, was imagine how the existing school buildings could be used differently.
Exactly.
So the three high schools are of varying ages. But we said, you know, how do we make these into truly innovative, flexible learning environments that allow kids to build relationships with each other, but also build relationships with faculty? They're going to prepare them for the kind of career pathways and occupations that they can engage in the center. So we really saw those first 2 years, going back to Matt's point about 9th and 10th grade being those foundation years, and then 11th and 12th students being able to branch out. We imagine the high school really as the home base, right? That's the place where you can connect with your community, build identity, get prepared for those 11th and 12th grade years. And so we assessed the existing buildings and reimagined how those could be renovated to support that need.
That is really, really cool. I really love this idea. What centers, and I'll stay with Isaac here, what centers do you foresee? I mean, tech, and I'm making this up, healthcare, what? You tell me. Do you see? How are they going to shake out? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I know that Albemarle is still developing that. I'm working on that based on student interest. But we imagine, in addition to tech and healthcare and medical sciences, we also imagined one around music, entertainment,
there
and technology.
Go.
So, being so close
performing
to
arts,
EA,
yeah.
And being so close to performing arts, it just made sense to bring those things together. Also one around sustainability and environmental science. So Charlottesville is so close to so many things, right? It's close to D.C. and other things, but it also has incredible agriculture and incredible actually solar panel industry that's building there. So we were thinking about how could students' experience in high school really be a gateway to careers and occupations.
Exactly.
Both ones that they may choose and ones that they just may be interested in knowing about.
This is really a great idea. It really rethinks education and the way the school building reacts to what the needs of the future are. You know, we built schools like they were factories and basically prisons. That's where I went to Overbrook High School in Philadelphia. All right, and we did that because it was the Industrial Revolution, and that's what we all needed. All right, and that helped the country to grow. All right, now unfortunately Overbrook has still haven't been rehabbed that much where I went back in Philadelphia. But my point is, we have to change the way we look at the structure of a school to meet the needs, okay, of what's going to be in the future. And Matt, I want to ask you something. We just went through. Can you hear me, Matt?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay. I have a question. I nag people about this incredibly. We talked about performing arts centers and science centers and environmental centers and all that sort of stuff. Can I make a suggestion? We also have an educational center where we tell people how to become teachers. All right? We always forget that at the community fair, and then we can't figure out why nobody wants to be a teacher anymore. Okay?
That's right.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's a veterinary. The veterinary here, if you want to be a fire person, that's firefighter, that's great. We forget about teachers. Okay? So that's my thought for today. Add in an education center so they understand that education is a science, too. What do you think, Dr. Haas?
Well, so that's so true, and so here's how we kind of worked on this. So the first thing I want to say this too before we run out of time, but for anybody out there listening, if you're going to have these programs, you cannot have application processes because those are a barrier.
Thank you.
So that's the
thank
first
you.
Thing I just want to put on the table because that's a huge barrier for everyone. It's just really, are you interested in pursuing and exploring a career pathway? And if you are, you guess what? You get to do it. So what we've done is we've looked at all of our secondary facilities, and we mapped out these what we call career learning communities in all of our high schools and also the center and future centers. And they range from things like technical science, multimedia arts, performing arts, human services is at Monticello High School. And so that's got education and training, government, public administration, human services.
Cool.
So those kinds of things. Western Albemarle is another high school, and it's got environmental sciences, entrepreneurship and business. So what those are not ones that we made up. What we did is the Virginia Department of Education has a set of what they call career clusters that are mapped to thriving careers in Virginia. And so what we did is basically worked with all of our high school teachers, with representative groups to identify which of the different careers, different learning pathways that they would want to host in their schools. And then we tried to group them together based on, affiliation. So every school has a series of pathways. This program, we've done some piloting with it, but it will officially kick off full steam in 22-23. So we are up and running with it. We're piloting some programs, but that's how we kind of spread them out. And I agree. We also need to do scholarships for first-time college students to go into teaching because those would be our teachers that would be really great teachers to have here in the system that we can retain with all of our other excellent teachers.
Absolutely, and the kids can learn and share what they learn with kids in the lower grades to help them along.
Right.
Tutor, it'd be fun, it'd be good, and it's a grow-your-own type thing. But my only point is every career fair, they forget to have the educator booth.
Absolutely.
Okay? So they complain, where are we going to get our next teacher? So don't do that. Don't make that mistake. It's a good one. All right, I want to ask you both this question. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we are the American Consortium for Equity in education. We believe strongly in equity, as you guys do, as most of my listeners do, all right, and they act on it. And I just want you to go over in detail, and I think I'll let Matt do this one. Dr. Haas, I say the word equity, and I say your game plan of all your centers and all this. Put all that together, the word equity. Throw that in there.
So,
and
for,
I know that's
for
very
us,
important to you guys. I know it's very important.
Absolutely, and it's turned into a little bit of a, I would say, a battleground in different places around the country, and Virginia certainly is also an area for that. But because I think sometimes people see equity as a takeaway for someone, I'm not sure who, but our mission in our school system is to end the predictive value of race, class, gender, and special capacities for our children's success through high-quality teaching and learning for all. That's actually our mission statement. And so when we look at equity, we look at everything through a lens of how when we're tracking this and we're looking at the data, are we seeing participation and opportunities for students across all of our demographic groups? So that we know that that's a way to track access. But what it really means on the front end is ensuring that all of our students have what they need. They have the level of support necessary so that they can thrive, and that we would take down barriers so that they would have the opportunities to be academically successful. So everything we operationalize, we audit what we're working on. We talk about who's going to be impacted positively by this, who might be negatively impacted by this, and how do we mitigate those negative impacts and accelerate what's positive so that all children can benefit from our public programming that we have here in the schools.
And if I could just tag that, I think what was so exciting for us to be part of this work and to continue to connect with Albemarle County is that equity often in growing school districts means another big building. And I think that this process, which really looked at system-wide, how do we create more access, more opportunity for all students, regardless of where they are, meant that instead of one catchment area or one school getting a new school building, kind of a new prize, we stepped back and said, how can we distribute those resources more equitably and give more opportunity to every child, wherever they live? And I think that's a challenge facing many school districts.
It is.
As you pointed out earlier, the school buildings are aging across the country as a piece of our infrastructure. The bills to replace all those schools is incredibly large. Some will get replaced, but maybe not all of them. And so how do we step back and say the real goal is to provide opportunity for all kids? And that may not always mean a new building, but it can mean opportunity to access programs and expertise that's going to help them build the kinds of careers and skills that they want to have in the future.
Right, and I love that you just said this is exactly what the Applebar is doing, is distributing the resources. All right, the resources are not centered in one place. Okay, it is distributing the resources, and I just think this whole thing that you're doing down there is just incredible. And I think it's a great rethink, and that's what we need of education. And one last thing in the game plan for Albemarle County, you wrote here: thriving students will facilitate learning experiences. It is a key phrase. Grounded in high expectations. And that's the word rigor. We have to be rigorous with these children of every single group and community, etc., and have the same high expectations, and these kids will rise to it. All right? So you go in with low expectations, it's a foregone conclusion. High expectations, that's one too. Go with the high expectations. Right, Matthew Haas?
That is so true. And if you start out with that in mind, and you demand rigor, but then you give the supports, you make sure that you provide the support that every child needs. And a lot of that support comes with really understanding where all of your kids are coming from and what are they bringing with them to school, so that we can unpack the stuff that's getting in the way. And we can use the assets that they bring so that they can meet those demands of rigor. So I totally agree, Larry. It's what it's all about.
It is what it's all about. You two are doing great jobs. And I want to say you two and your teams are doing great jobs, okay, at the Albemarle High County Schools, okay, in Virginia, and at Fielding International. We do have to go now. And all I can say is it's a pleasure to have a fellow Eagles fan on board here. Thank you,
Matt. Thank you. Thank you, Larry. That made my day.
Yes, it made mine too. All right? And don't let it's only 25 or 10, for goodness sakes. We can go home now. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And Isaac, take care. Go get a good night's sleep. Or whatever they do in Singapore at 9:35 p.m.
Good night, Isaac.
Thank you very much. Always
bye, guys.
All right, thank you.
Guys.
Thanks, Larry.
Oh,
bye, Isaac.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was fun. Okay, Isaac from Fielding International calling in from Singapore. Hello. All right. And Dr. Matt Haas, Eagles fan, all right, the superintendent of Albemarle County Public Schools down in Virginia, Charlottesville area. All right, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Go over there, and also please check out seltoday.org. We're trying here, get the whole picture out there. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thank you for listening, and everybody just have a great day.